Imagine having the life of your dreams. Not temporary cash and glory, but happiness and inner peace. Explore new ways to be a creator and take your own journey into greatness. Is it possible? What does it take to make that happen? It takes the person known for extreme results. He's called the Cage Breaker and the Ultimate Catalyst. Coming back from the brink of death and now crushing it for himself and his clients, this is Your Ultimate Life Podcast with Kellen Flukiger.
Today's episode is going to be a lot of fun. I really enjoy the idea of being all in and of doing something at full blast. Or, you know, when I don't know if you use that phrase or not. When I was a kid, we used the word full blast. If we'd have a water fight, you know, we'd bring the hose around from the back and the hose in the front yard, and we'd have a water fight. And the instruction would always be, turn it on full blast. And that meant, of course, turn the hose on all the way. So you'd have as much water firepower as possible. And in those days, we had little water pistols, but we didn't have the gigantic 20 million yard soaker pistols or anything. But anyway, so full blast is, you know, another way of thinking all in. All in, if you think of it in sports terms, like if I would be on the ski hill and I'm going to go jump a double black run and I'd just jump out of the gate and go hell bent for leather straight down. And sometimes I would make it and sometimes I would crash. I remember one particular run, I think it's in Squaw Valley in Lake Tahoe, and it's called the Slot. And the reason it was called the Slot is because the entrance to it is not very wide. It's between two rocks, and my memory says 8 feet wide. It could be wider than that, but it doesn't matter. It's not a very wide entry, and it's a double black run, and it runs straight, you know, steep. Not straight down, obviously, but very steep. And I remember the first time I did the Slot, I went down about 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, 50 yards, 80 yards, 100 yards, and then I fell, and I splattered all the way down the rest of the hill. Just tumble, 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 tumble. It was steep, and I was going fast, and the person I was skiing with came up and said, later, laying there, you know, I thought you were dead, or that you would have died of internal injuries. I guess that's how rough the tumble looked. And here's the funny thing. The feeling that I had at jumping that run was one of not going all in. It was steep. It was scary. I had done, you know, lots of double blacks before, but I wasn't really... I wouldn't call myself a great skier. I was a clumsy. I could do really good on black, but double blacks, you know, kind of a scary, clumsy bit person. And so when I would do one, sometimes I would do it half-heartedly and a little too much slide slipping and all that other stuff. Anyway, I think one of the reasons that I crashed so badly is that I didn't ski it properly, and that would be to just go in and you let the gravity do the work and the balance and so forth. And I didn't essentially go all in. So the three parts to this to a podcast today, the power of being all in. Part one is the misery of maybe. Part two is the power of being settled. And part three is the peace in choosing. Now, obviously, running down an all-in steep ski run is just one little example of being all in to something. But it means being totally committed. It means you have decided. There's a motivational tape that I listen to pretty much every day. And part of it says, you know, people decide and get things done. Get it done is the phrase the person uses when they have had enough. And we see a lot of people doing two things in the world today. You see a lot of people who dance with maybe I'll do this and maybe I'll do that and I'm not sure and what if it's wrong and what if I change my mind, and there's a lot of energy wasted on maybe. And then there's a lot of others who jump into something without really deciding it's what they want to do, and they sort of expect things to go okay. Neither one of those is what I mean by the power of being all in. So let's talk about what it means. Oh, just to finish the story, when the person I was with came to me and said, oh, I thought you were dead, I was actually frustrated, and I was not injured, nothing broken. I was hurt, but nothing broken. And so I just looked up and I said, I'm doing it again. And so I went back up and did it again, and it was better the second time. But anyway, so let's get to the first part, which is the misery of maybe. Here's the misery of maybe. If you don't really know if you're going to go do something, it won't be enjoyable. Two, you won't be able to do it as well, and you risk all kinds of consequences. So let's use sports again as an example. If I'm skiing like that, or water skiing or something, and you're sort of holding back, you're holding something in reserve. Well, maybe, I don't know, you inevitably miss cues, you miss balance, you miss something, and you crash. You are more prone to crash than if you're fully committed to something. And there's not a mystery about why that's so. That happens because part of your mind is somewhere else. Part of your physical committedness is not there in a physical sense. Now, the same thing happens in a mental sense. If you decide you're going to do something, and it's maybe, then part of you is not fully invested or involved. So, for example, I've been in a place where I was part of a mastermind, and I was listening to a particular section on one day to the lecture, person that was teaching, but I wasn't all in. I wasn't there with full attention, and I realized partway through that what was going on in front of me was really, really good, and because I hadn't been all in, I'd missed some stuff that was really valuable, and so I had to do two things. One, I had to really focus and try to piece what I'd missed together from what, you know, went forward, and then I had to also bother someone or borrow someone's notes and, you know, have a conversation with them at the break to see what I'd missed. And realized that I had suffered the misery of maybe because I had chosen not to be all in. One of the things I've learned as a coach, as a full participant in life and in helping people achieve their dreams, the ultimate life, is that maybe is not the way to live. I will give you one more example. I heard a poem when I was a kid, and I think it was in fifth or sixth grade, or a story, actually. It wasn't a poem, it was a story. And it was a story about an old grandpa, and I don't know how old he was, but the grandpa had been told repeatedly, you know, take it easy, don't get too active, and be really careful about your diet, and don't do this, and don't do that. And the grandchild, I can't remember if it was a girl or boy, but doesn't matter, visited the grandpa, and the grandpa said, okay, let's sneak out and go to the county fair. And so they snuck out and went to the county fair and went on the rides and bought the spicy hot dogs or chili or whatever it was and all the things they weren't supposed to do. And when they got back, you know, they had the time of their lives and a memory of their lives and everything else. And I don't remember the whole story, so I'm not going to do it justice or pretend to tell it. But what I do remember is the closing line of the story, and that was the kid asked the grandpa, you know, how come you did this, grandpa, and et cetera, et cetera. And grandpa said to him, well, the way I view life is, and this was the phrase, and it stuck with me forever, live while you live and then die and be done with it. And so I love that. And it has guided me. Live while you live and then die and be done with it. And there are so many people that I see, that you see, that live half-hearted, that live all in. They do just the minimum to get by. They float along and nothing is really happening for them. And in fact, all they've really done is to begin their death. And that can start when they're 20 or 30 or at any age, just doing the minimum to get by, just living for the weekend, just floating along. Anything being all in and you've already started your death. So that's all part of the misery of maybe. The part two that I wanted to talk about is the power of being settled. That might sound like the misery of maybe, but it's actually a different take on this, and it's quite important. Being settled is being satisfied in your mind that you have done the right thing, or that you're going to take what you've done, and that's it. That's something that I've learned to do. So, for example, you know, another silly example, if I order a meal at a restaurant, or if I order a burger with cheese or with or without bacon or onion rings or whatever it is, as soon as I've decided what I'm going to get, I stop thinking about it. I just turn it off. That is what I have ordered, and it is settled in my mind. I do the same thing when I purchase a computer or I buy something. I don't spend any seconds second guessing, wondering, well, maybe I should have got this. Maybe I could have done that. Maybe I don't do that. It's decided, it's done, and I'm in. This is it, and it's settled. And the power of being settled is your mind is clear, your focus is sharp, and you have decided. And that gives you tremendous power. You know what you have. It's here for you, and it's settled. And again, there's this power in not being divided. That goes back to the phrase, a house divided against itself cannot stand. A mind divided against itself cannot stand. If you save part of your mind wondering what else you could have or should have done, I promise you, the trip down the river won't be as much fun. The relationship you're in won't be as good. The food you order won't taste as good. The computer won't be as good. All of it will be tinged with, well, I wonder if I should have done something else. And that goes far beyond buying things, because things are just one little tiny part of life. If you decide, for example, to read a book, then read all in. If you decide to have a conversation with someone, be settled in that and have that conversation all in, all there, and fully present. We talked about presence before, and I'm going to do three podcasts a little bit later on the different layers of presence and how important they are. But being settled about what you're doing opens up a world of possibility and connects your true inner power and capability to what you're doing. And being divided with your attention somewhere else or your intention somewhere else means that there is certainly not as much enjoyment, and you don't bring the power to the situation and circumstance that you would have brought otherwise. So one of the things this whole sequence of podcasts is about, my personal truth and commitment statement, and it talks about being all in. And I know that each of us has a divine purpose and mission, and I believe, and I know that I have found mine, and I'm committed all in. And I love that mission, and I believe it's what I've been called to do, and that every single possible resource is brought to bear, and every victory is wonderful. And being committed to that lets me be focused and brings an enormous amount of joy. And so that's how it relates to that. And remember, creating the ultimate life is a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy created by serving others with your divine gifts. The last part of this thing is, I called it the peace of choosing. One of the supreme gifts that we have as children of God and as humans, we have the right to choose. Now, even though I've had, you know, near-death experiences and all kinds of crazy things that have happened to me, and I've told those stories before. If you want to know, the meeting God at the door is one of the books. But even though I've had that, I know everybody has experiences with the divine, with the extra normal, with things that are outside of normal explanation and experience. And here's the conundrum. Every time something like that happens, we have an intuition, we have a feeling, we know, or we think we know we should do something. The dance that we do in not choosing robs the event or the blessing or the circumstance of its power. There is an enormous peace that comes to your heart from choosing. So, for example, I choose to see every blessing as a gift from above. I choose to believe and to know to the core of my being that there are no coincidences, that everything that happens, happens for a reason, either for my growth and learning, if it's a struggle or an unexpected setback, or as an opportunity for me to learn and grow for myself or to bless others. I know those things. And because I have chosen once and for all to view every single thing through that lens, there is an enormous peace and that accompanies life. And because of that peace, that's another gigantic step in having the peace in making that choice. And as you exercise the power of being all in, you avoid the misery of maybe, you enjoy the power of being settled, and you will also experience the peace in choosing and move closer toward your ultimate life. Open your heart
and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart in the sky and your feet on